take this open door for granted. It's kind of a great honor to be here. In my 52 years of being saved and 50 years of preaching, I have had the Bible do various and sundry things to me over the years. I have had the Bible to rebuke me. I have had the Bible to correct me. I've had the Bible to comfort me. I have had the Bible to direct me. Once or twice, I have been around a preacher who took the Bible and beat me. I didn't go back for a second. But I come these services that preacher would allow me to preach with an encouraging word from the Bible. I don't know about you, I need an encouraging word. There is nothing encouraging out there.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But there is much to be encouraged in this book. And I want to go to Luke's Gospel tonight, chapter 15. And I want to share with you tonight an encouraging word about figuring. We're bad to figure. We love to figure. Maybe if we rob Paul, we might could pay somebody else. Figure. Two words come to mind. They both sound alike. They both deal with figure. One of them is the word sense. C-E-N-T-S. Deals with math, money. We're always figuring when it comes to money. The other one is S-E-N-S-E. Sense. It has the idea of trying to make life to line up, trying to figure out why this has happened. I don't know if you would agree with me, but COVID makes no sense.
Right.
I have a dear friend, a preacher in Mississippi. Him, his three daughters, and his wife, several months ago, tested positive to COVID. Him, his three daughters, had no symptoms. They buried his wife 2 months later. I don't know about you. That doesn't make any sense. Of course, I don't know about you when it comes to math. Of course, I was in the 10th grade on three different occasions. And I always felt like math was a conspiracy to confuse people, make no sense. As long as they get 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4, I was right in there with them. It wasn't long before they started stacking numbers on top of one another. Called it fractions. I thought to myself, when in the devil will I ever use that? Fractions. And I thought that was their best shot at confusing me. But I learned they were just getting warmed up. They started putting dots in the middle of numbers. Called it decimals. Had the audacity to tell me the right of that dot was a 10, 100, and 1,000. I ain't never seen a 10, 100, or 1,000 to the right of that dot. Thought that was their best shot. But I found out they were just getting warmed up. When I got up in that higher grades, they had the guts to tell me that a Y equals a 7 and a 7 equals an X. I said, I'm totally confused. I read an article the other day about an old man. He was 75 years old. He was dying. He was on his deathbed. And he invited his whole family and all of his grandchildren. And he said, I want to report to you before I die. He says, I am now 75 years old, and I have never used algebra in my entire life. Confusing. Doesn't make any sense. Figuring. It is in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son, that we have God's mathematical program. And I'm here to report to you tonight, God's mathematical program always makes sense. If you work it. Still won't make any sense if you don't work it. As we begin to unpack this text tonight, God's mathematical program, I would begin this story in verse number 11 at God's figuring properties. He says in our text, and he said, a certain man. Wow, I gotta stop right there. That little phrase, certain man, is the word husbandman. Husbandman. Interesting little phrase. Jesus said over in John 15, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and my Father is what?
Husbandman.
He runs the vineyard. He calls all the shots. Nothing is planted that he doesn't plant. Nothing is done. Nothing is watered. Nothing is done anything to in the garden unless in the husbandman. Yeah. Does it. This father here in this text is called a husbandman, a certain man. As we walk down through this text, every time there is a mathematical property mentioned, I'd like to stop and look at it for just a brief moment. The Bible says in verse number 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falleth to me, and he. Ruh-roh. Here's a mathematical property. Divided under them his living. That little word divided is an interesting word. It means a part of the whole. I don't want all of you, Daddy. I just want some of you. I just want you when I need you. Wow. That is the state of this young man tonight. I don't doubt there's some sitting right here tonight. You are not whole hog for God. You are not right now trying to draw as close to God as you possibly can get. That is a very dangerous place for you to be in tonight. You say, preacher, I don't have time for all this Bible stuff. I'm just maintaining what I've got. If you're not actively drawing nigh to God tonight, he's pulling away from you. You don't have no time for the Bible, he ain't got no time for you. Matter of fact, he says one day you'll be up there in intensive care, and he says, I'll laugh at you while you're going through your calamities. Are you listening to me? Figuring. This young man just wanted part of God. I'm telling you tonight, if God is not the center of your life, and everything revolving around him, you're sitting in a dangerous place tonight. Yeah. You listen to me. Watch the text. Verse number 13. God's mathematical properties. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there, what? Another mathematical property. Wasted! Wow, there's an interesting property. What's the text? His substance with righteous living. The Bible says in verse number 14, and when he had, what? Another mathematical property. Spin all! Watch the text. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be, what? Time out! Hold on! Another mathematical property. It won't. They're all three the same one. It is the mathematical property of subtraction. If you decide tonight you do not want to draw nigh to God with every breath of your very being, God will kick in subtraction. And it'll be so very slow that you won't even know it's happening until it's too late. Are you listening to me tonight? Subtraction. God is a master at subtracting. Matter of fact, it says in our text in verse 14, there arose a mighty famine. I was interested in that little word arose. It means to ordain or cause to happen. Where in the world did that famine come from? Just a run of bad luck? No! God caused it.
Yeah, sure.
I have a preacher friend. He calls me every Sunday morning. Matter of fact, he called me this morning. And when this COVID first started, I was talking to him one Sunday morning, and he said it about three or four times on the phone. And it wasn't until I got off the phone that a light bulb come on in my mind and said, what did he say? He called COVID not a pandemic. He called it a plandemic. Now, where did COVID come from? God Almighty sent it. I don't think he has ever masterfully done anything in our age that has got our attention more than COVID. Are you listening to her? Here. This old boy said, Daddy, I don't want all of you. I just want some of you. I just want a little jingle in my pocket. Daddy said, that's no problem. He said, you leave home with your pockets full. And he said, I'm going to kick in some traction. You young people sitting here tonight, if you have decided that you're not going to get as close to God as you can possibly get, that is no problem. God is not going to argue with you at all. But I promise you, the days ahead shall be rough. You will think over and over and over again that somebody has been reeling you off the bottom of the deck. Are you listening to me? Kicked in subtraction. Watch the text. Verse number 15. And he went and, what? Another mathematical property. And joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. That join there is the mathematical property of addition. He's pulled away from his daddy. His daddy has kicked in subtraction. He's left this boy trying to get life to add up. Life won't make no sense. Matter of fact, did you see what this boy is doing? That's a no-no for Jews, feeding pigs. I'm telling you tonight, young people, you pull away from God, God kicks in subtraction, you will find yourself doing things you had no idea that you ever did. You will wake up one day and say, man, I didn't know I was going to have three divorces under my belt and four or five kids, and I don't even know who their daddy and mama are. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm telling you tonight, he will leave you trying to make sense out of life. If there's anything I have learned in 52 years, it's to get as close to God and stay there as I can.
Yeah.
Put him as the center of my life. Because you never know when life is going to throw you a curveball that you cannot make any sense out of.
Yeah.
God's mathematical problems. You look further in this text, verse 17, man's figuring perversions. Man's figuring perversions. Verse 17, we have his thoughts. And when he came to himself, I know many have said they believe this is that boy's salvation. I don't believe a word of it. Are you listening to me? I do not believe he got saved here. Absolutely not. You say, why do you feel like that? Because of the phrase. The little phrase has the idea to become self-aware. I will assure you tonight, you will never have any spiritual help that originates with you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
He's had an Oprah moment.
Come on, brother.
He's had a, wow. I never thought about that. What kind of thought has he had? He's had a thought that is half truth. Half error. What is it? He says in verse number 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many? Time out! Hold on! There's another mathematical property. It is a property of multiplication. He said, as long as I was at my daddy's house, I never knew anything about division. I never knew anything about subtraction. I never tried to get things added up. Daddy never did anything but multiplication. Wow. I got to thinking about growing up at my daddy's house. I was wondering, you young people that are here tonight, have you ever given a thought, when you go in your bedroom, is there a little switch on the wall and you turn it on and the lights come on? Do you have that in the bedroom? Have you ever given any thought as to how your daddy gets that to happen? He pay bill. And bill. Light come on. Multiplication. You listen to me. I never give it a thought. I never went to the refrigerator. Daddy didn't have milk in there. He didn't even have a cow. Hey, this morning, do that. He go grocery store.
Yeah.
Multiplication. Over and over and over again. He has this thought, self-awareness. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? His thought. He's come upon a self-awareness. But watch the text. Notice not only his thoughts, notice his testimony. You say, preacher, what makes you think that he didn't get saved here? I'm going to read this text, verse 17, 18, and 19, and I'm going to overemphasize something, and you tell me if you think this old boy got saved. Watch the text, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Sounds like he's more eat up himself than he is eat up the daddy.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't know if you realize it or not, biblical salvation is not about you coming to God.
Yeah.
I don't doubt there's people sitting right here tonight. You have come to God. You have prayed a sinner's prayer. You've been baptized. and you're still going to hell when this is over with.
Right.
How come God ain't never come to you?
Yeah.
Biblical salvation demands that God come to you.
Yeah.
It's not about you coming to God. Our churches are full of people that came to God. But God ain't never come to me. You say, preacher, how will I know if God comes to me? Oh, you'll know.
Yeah, you'll know.
He'll make himself very, very known. Here, this young man has come upon a thought. Matter of fact, he has memorized it. He says, I'm going to go and tell my daddy, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before them, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He does not want to live at the house anymore. He knows that's out. He just wants to be a migrant worker. He just wants to come in on seasonal so he can get a jingle in his pocket again. That's all he wants. Man's figuring perversion. But could I see from this text tonight God's figuring pronouncement? Notice the Father's moving pronouncement in verse number 20. And he arose and came to his Father. Remember, biblical salvation is not about you coming to God. Biblical salvation is about God coming to you. Watch the text.
Amen.
But when he was yet a great way off, his father... What?
Yeah.
I was interested in that little word saw there. I went and studied and looked it up. It means to see because one is looking with anticipation for it to happen.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Daddy knows it's going to happen because he has already planned it thus. Season coming. Watch the text. Oh, it's so good. I hate to even show it to you. You're not going to believe it. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Had mercy upon
Glory
him.
Glory to God. Yeah.
And ran. One of the few times in the Bible that you'll see a picture of God running. What is he running to do? And fell on his neck and kissed him. Tama, hold on. Did what? On his neck. Bear hug is the word there. Kiss is to smother with kisses. He's kissing this boy all over his head, his hair, his neck, his shoulders. You know, probably some of you young girls could probably testify. I've heard of love being blind. Man, I have never heard of love affecting your smeller. This boy has just come from the hall.
That's right. Yeah.
And daddy smothering him with kisses. Oh, that has got to be a love that is everlasting. A love that has had no beginning, it shall have no end. He loved me as much when I was lost as he loves me now that I am saved.
Yeah.
Father's move. Father has come to the boy. Yeah. But remember, he had his Oprah moment. He's got it memorized. He's been memorizing that coming down the road. He's got it down fast. Notice not only the Father's moving pronouncement, notice the Father's manifested pronouncement. The Bible tells us in verse number 21, and the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am not no worthy to be called thy son. Right there he stops it. Mid-sentence. He doesn't get to finish his little statement. You remember he's going to go on asking him to be a hired servant. That'd be one of the migrant workers. He stops him. He says, hold that thought, son. He sends one of his servants to the house. He said, go get my best robe. He said, go get my best shoes. And bring me the family credit card in the image of a ring. He said, we're going to robe this boy. We're going to shoe him. and we're going to read him because he was lost.
Yeah.
And now he has been saved. I'm telling you, there is no Baptist church that would do that for you in the United States.
That's right. Yeah.
No way that you would come in on Sunday morning and get saved, and they would robe you, shoe you, and give you the PIN number to the checking account of the church. It ain't going to happen. This is what the Father does to the Son. Wow. You correct me if I'm wrong. As far as this story is concerned, this boy never says another word in the story. I feel like, this is just my crazy thought, I believe he was in awe. Because he's come back just to get a jingle in his pocket. Man, they've robed him, they've shooed him, and they've reamed him. He's walking back across the plantation. All of those migrant little shacks, I can hear them out there. There's the spitting widow clubs out there on the porch, and they're talking about, man, I thought that boy lost everything he's got. It sure not, man, look like he's in pretty good shape. You see that rope? You see him shoe? You see that little ring on his hand? You listen to me. Here, I think he was in awe. Now, I don't know how y'all do in North Carolina with the word awe, but down in Georgia, we define the word awe, mouth open while scratching head. I believe the whole time the boy is in awe. I don't know about you. Since 1968, when God saved my soul.
Yeah, man, for sure.
For the last 52 years, I've just seemed like it's just been one occasion after another where he's left me.
Yeah.
He's done it again. He's done worked it out again. Matter of fact,
yeah,
in this little old story, the Bible says that the father throws a party, verse 23, killed a fatted calf. Verse 24, he said, for this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. They began to be merry. I've often thought, why is daddy giving this boy's testimony? Why don't this boy stand up and give his testimony? I believe he's still at the party doing this. He's in awe. He's been brought back as close to the daddy as he could possibly be. He has found out what it was to distance himself from the father. And he has left him in awe. I'm talking about an encouraging word about figuring. When the father is the center of your life, everything is revolving around it. I was thinking about that just this past couple of months. My wife and I both to have COVID. Me to go to a urologist and says, he said, you got a stage 3 carcinoma inside of your bladder. And never fell apart at all. To know that he is a sinner. Everything revolving around him. As I close tonight, question is to you tonight, are you as close to God as you possibly can get? You are actively involved in getting as close to God as you can possibly get. I'm going to close this sermon tonight by telling a story. If you miss any part of this story, you'll go away from here tonight and you'll say to yourself, yeah, that's a pretty good sermon Brother Gillum preached it. But why did he tell that stupid story at the end? That story didn't even make no sense. And it's because you missed some of the story. Here's the story. There was an old mountain man lived up in the mountains. He had 3 sons. All he owned was 17 mules. He wrote out a will. And in the will, he willed half of the mules to his oldest son. He wanted his middle son to get a third of the mules. And he wanted the youngest boy to get a ninth of the mules. Shortly after he wrote out his will, he died. They were going to have the funeral. The next day, they were going to read the will. They said that the night before the funeral, this old man's brother, which was the uncle to these three boys, come riding in from the other side of the mountain on his mule. They said this old uncle was a holy man of God. They said often just his presence alone would cause people to make sense out of a senseless situation. When he got there, he told the boys, he said, "Boys, it's going to be hard for y'all to divide an odd number." He said, "Why don't y'all just take my mule? Be an even number. Be much easier for you to divide them." They were just elated at that thought. And so the next day after they buried Daddy, the oldest boy got half of the mules. Half of 18 is 9. The middle boy got a third of them. Third of 18 is 6. The youngest boy got half of them. Half of 18 is 2. 9 plus 6 plus 2 is 17. And the old uncle got on his mule and rode back home. And in his rearview mirror, there were three boys standing there doing this. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll get as close to God as you can possibly get, you will be left in awe time and time and time again.
Yeah.
I was thinking coming up the road today, some time ago I preached this message in Gainesville, Georgia. I was thinking about you young people tonight. Gainesville, Georgia. A cold November day, 17 degrees. Young man come to the service that day, him and his girlfriend. His sister was the organ player there in that church. As far as she knew, he had never been to church in his life. He was 20 years old. His girlfriend was 19. I preached this message just like I preached it tonight. Verbatim. Didn't change a thing. She had told him that if he would come to church, she would give him and his girlfriend a ride to Cleveland, Georgia to visit a friend. They got in an argument in the parking lot, and she told him she was not going to take him to Cleveland. Him and his girlfriend started thumbing to Cleveland. The associate pastor, 30 years old, from First Baptist Church at Gainesville, wife and three little kids, stopped and picked them up. On the side of the road going to Cleveland, they stabbed him to death in his car. Somebody saw him stabbing him, called the police, and had him picked up shortly before they took off. They're both serving a life sentence in Georgia State Penitentiary. Find himself doing some things he thought he would never do. Will you listen to me? I would try to get as close to God as I possibly could. You say, "Preacher, I would never do anything like that." I wonder if that's what he would have said that morning in church. Oh, praise it. Me and my girlfriend would never stab somebody to death. Less than 2 hours. They had done. You listening to me tonight? One of the most dangerous places you can be is are far from God.
Yeah.
I love the words of this old song. I am thine, O Lord.
Yeah.
I have heard thy voice. Told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. We're standing tonight, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Preacher, I am not whole hog, 100% active in trying to get as close to God as I possibly can get. I realize tonight that's a dangerous place to be. I wonder tonight if you would like to root you out a place in this old altar. Just simply draw nigh to God. Have Him draw nigh to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you realize for the first time you're lost. Need a Savior. Altar's open tonight. Preacher, I just got to get closer to God. I sense it's a very dangerous. He could kick in subtraction, leave me trying to make sense of things. I need to get closer to Him. Young person, need to draw nigh to Him. What a good way to begin this meeting. No altar. Drawing nigh to God. While we wait a few moments tonight, altar's open. Would you come? Seek the Lord. Call on Him while He's near. Preacher's coming.